on the back table. If you'd like to follow along and take some notes, please feel free to do so. As we're in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. A little context here for us. Jesus is speaking this truth that we heard from the gospel this morning with his disciples as he's in the upper room in what we call the upper room discourse. So Jesus is speaking truths about the kingdom. He's telling them about his departure that he now is going to take place by going to the cross first, his resurrection then, and ascension. And he's praying for them. It's a long section in John's chapters here, these chapters of which 16 verses 12 to 22, which we heard today, are a part of. That's part of the context that we're coming together in the word of the Lord. And then this is where John doesn't necessarily give to us the institution of the supper of our Lord. The other disciples do that. But in this instance, this is the upper room time when the disciples would have celebrated the Passover and the new covenant. So with that in mind, this context of which we find ourselves in the gospel of our Lord, I am fascinated by discoveries concerning outer space. One, I think because outer space is just so big. It's immeasurable, right? We're finding new things today that combine the glories that we know from the creation account in Genesis with science of where we're at as people with our knowledge, blessed by the Lord. New discoveries that are taxing our minds and challenging even maybe some of those elemental basic things that we thought were true, but now we're discovering, maybe we need to refigure that. For scientists in unbelief, sure, this is a staggering kind of perplexity. For us as believers, we know that this is the hand of our God, who's big, who's immeasurable, who's omniscient, and he's simply revealing to us the immense of his creative hand at work when we're ready for it. In fact, if you see in the slide here, see that circle there? This is a galaxy on the edge of the Milky Way, newly discovered, because you can't see it very well with the technology that we had earlier. We had to wait until today with the technology that's available because there's no stars in that galaxy. It's only a bunch of gas. And so it's hard to see with previous technology. Only in recent months, actually, have these new discoveries come to light. And scientists are astounded by that. Well, we can be too. But in the understanding that this is God's hand at work. He created it this way, this galaxy without stars, only gases, for his praise and for his glory. And now at this point in time, we get to enjoy that as well. Building on that which has come before us so that we might be able to understand today part of the complexities of our creating God. This is a little bit what Jesus is telling his disciples today as we pick it up in verse 12, where he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Where you are, disciples, I've got a lot more truth that I want to share with you, mysteries of my kingdom. There's things that you're going to do that you can't fathom today, but we need to build on where we're going here. And where it begins is me showing the world the grace of our Heavenly Father as I lay my life down in sacrifice for the atonement of sins. Where I'm buried in the tomb to conquer death and to be risen from the dead so that that proclamation of victory might be made known to the world, yes, disciples, even through you. I know you can't believe it right now, but we're building and we're getting there. But right now, I've got a lot more things to tell you that you can't bear. What Jesus is telling his disciples is, I want you to be able to understand a truth or truths that I'm going to be sharing with you and take it in to your heart, your life, the exercise of your faith for the purposes of my kingdom, of my work among you. I got a lot more that I'm going to share with you, but right now you can't bear it, can't understand it. We need to move through in the process of maturity, of faith, of letting the work that I am going to be doing stand on its own for you to be convinced. So Jesus gives them this word, and it's going to be a couple years later that this is going to be revealed to Peter. Peter's in Joppa, And there he receives this vision of this picnic blanket coming down. A vision of all the different animals that are unclean that the Lord has told him in his Israelite truth of the law, that God has said Israelites don't have anything to do with these animals. And now, in this vision, Peter hears the Lord. And the Lord says, eat, Peter. No, I will not do that. No, Peter, I'm giving you something now to bear that you couldn't have experienced in that upper room. There's no way in that upper room you would have fathomed that I would call you to eat that which is unclean because you weren't ready. But now you are. Take and eat. And Peter then, in this vision, obeys. Now, reflect on Peter's experiences a little bit. This is a couple years after Jesus had ascended. The church had been established. It was growing in its faith and life in the kingdom. And Peter had gone through some pretty intense times during that. Especially after Jesus had risen from the dead, there were about 3 weeks in there that he was estranged from the Lord. Remember, he had denied Jesus 3 times on the night of Jesus' trials and forsaken, in his own thinking, that the Lord no longer loved him and cared for him. For 3 weeks, Peter lived like that. Guess what that was for Peter? It was a little bit of taste of what we Gentiles, we who are outside of the covenants of the Israelites, we know and experience. We are excluded. We're outside of those initial old covenants, covenant promises that now have come to light in Jesus. And Peter needed to experience that 3 week kind of journey of what it felt like to be forsaken and excluded outside of any kind of relationship with the Lord, because now he knows. Jesus reinstated him, right? And by the fire, that little campfire by the Sea of Galilee, asking Peter 3 times, do you love me? And 3 times Peter had the opportunity to say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, welcome back, Peter. Welcome into my promises, not of the old, but of the new covenant that I've established for you through the shedding of my blood, where you know, Peter, forgiveness of sins. And when you're ready, a couple years from now, of course, Jesus didn't tell Peter this, but Jesus knew, a couple years from now, you're going to have this vision. And in that vision, you'll be able to bear what I give you for the purposes of my kingdom at work in you. Wow. How the Lord works. How he wants us to bear these truths, but he allows us to go through times in life where we are tested, where we wonder about the strength of our faith, where we wonder where the Lord even is in times of wilderness-like wanderings. But the Lord has in mind that we might bear his truths. The struggle that we find ourselves with is in our own sinfulness. Because in our own sinfulness, while the Lord is working for his purposes to bear the truths that he wants us to know, we find our own sinful nature at work bringing a divide or building a divide and bringing something that causes us to be excluded from the kingdom because maybe at this moment, well, we fail to understand. But the Lord is calling us to work through it, to work through that challenge. Trust me. I am working all things out for your good because I know you love me. So trust me. Let me take you through times like Peter experienced. And we all have those opportunities to trust and wait. There are experiences that I want you to have for my kingdom purposes. There are people that I want you to meet and to share the gospel message with. But right now, you're not ready to bear all of that. But trust me. I'm preparing you for that. When we allow those divisions, or when we cause that which brings us to be excluded from the kingdom because of our sinfulness, well, then we're really putting an end to what the Lord would choose for us to know about him and walk in his ways and to know the glory of his purposes of what we can bear when we're ready. For us, it was at just the right time for what the world could bear that God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to bear our sin. to take upon himself the cross of our salvation, to shed his blood so that our sins might be atoned for. The price paid. Forgiveness then won for us in the victory of that power, that glory of the cross in Jesus Christ. That was the right time that the Lord God knew for all people, for Jews, Israelites, and for us Gentiles, to know that which the Lord God was bearing unto himself. This is my purpose. This is for my kingdom. That all people would be drawn to this glory of the cross. Jew and Gentile. That incredible vision that Peter saw. This is for all people to know the joy of my salvation. And when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, as Jesus told his disciples, as we hear it ourselves, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. A truth that acknowledges, I belong to the Lord. What's done in the past is the past. Where I have failed is behind me. What I have before me is the opportunity to know the forgiveness and love that I'm embraced in by Jesus Christ, and in the purposes of the kingdom to be worked out for me. Now, Lord, what can I bear? What have you prepared me for the sake of your glory to be made known in my life? Bring it on, kind of thing, Lord, because you've made me ready. My life experiences, failings, and that which I've learned from now have an opportunity to glorify your name, and your Spirit leads us in that truth. He's not going to speak on his own, this Holy Spirit, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come, guiding us by the truth. The truth. The truth of the Holy Spirit that has been given, poured into each one of us. It began in your baptism, when the promises of God washed over you in water and in word, and the Holy Spirit took his residence in your heart as his home. This guiding by his truth began at a very early time for many of us, maybe later in life for some of us. But it's that journey of faith that we're guided now upon in the truth of the word of the Lord, his promises, the life of Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit that guides us. So that today we can bear what he gives us, what he's giving to us, what he's allowing us to be made known in our hearts in his kingdom. And the Holy Spirit does this actively. Jesus would tell us that. His disciples had already heard this word, Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is Jesus Christ, aletheia, that which is something greater than us, that is without any kind of falsehood, but defines our life by God, the Lord God's standards of his kingdom, perfect, holy, and complete. And he gives us that which we're ready for when we're able to bear it, for the sake of his purposes being made known in your heart and mine, to the glory of his name, so that more and more people are connected to Jesus Christ, even through the example, the witness of our lives. His truth, who is Jesus, is what's active and working in your heart, in your life, and mine. A truth for all people. Peter proclaimed that in the message, as Peter was particularly sent to the Israelite people. Paul would take on the mantle of proclaiming that to us Gentiles, that all people are included in the kingdom. That Gentiles would be given, as Peter proclaimed, the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. When we repented of our sins, when we started this morning, when we began our worship time, did you grasp that as a privilege? Maybe this is now something for you to bear, for the purpose of the work of the Lord in your heart, that if you have never thought about it as a privilege, maybe now is the opportunity to bear it in the purposes of the Lord working in your heart. That instead of being cast aside, in the call to repentance, we are brought in. Gentiles, to know the forgiveness of our sins for the purpose of the salvation of our souls in the presence of the Lord. Oh, what a privilege to be able to express that, to confess our sins and then to know and receive forgiveness. Jesus, then, my truth, is the dynamic reality of my salvation that shapes my worldview. It shapes my behavior, and it shapes my relationships with other people, because I know that the Lord is working his purposes to bring all things to completion. And he's allowing me into those truths as he knows I'm ready to bear those truths. It's why I can enjoy the mysteries of science and in the universe, because of my faith that my worldview is defined by the hand of God. We can enjoy this. That the creating hand of our God is that which allows us to hear these new discoveries and to recognize they come from him who is allowing us to bear this truth, these discoveries now, in the purpose of his creative hand. Wow, thanks, Lord. Thanks that we get to be a part of that today. And my worldview is defined by his truth. It defines my political views. It defines who I'm supporting because of what policies are out there. It defines how I'm treating other people in my relationships based on that truth. It defines every single aspect of my life because my worldview is coming from Jesus, the truth. It affects my behavior, my relationships. Where forgiveness marks my life, so it marks my behavior and relationships, and so much more that we could spend the whole day talking about how the dynamic reality of Jesus' truth shapes us in all of these ways, bringing it to a completion for his purposes. It is finished, the one from the throne proclaims. I am the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the spring of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. The promises we live under as God is bringing these things to completion. And his truth is mine by the authority of the Word of God through the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells, abides in us, and who empowers us to persevere. Now, in these days, in faithfulness, as each one of us knows. Those 3 weeks where Peter, before he was reinstated by his Lord, what did he do? But by faith, he persevered. Maybe you're in a 3 week kind of time right now. Maybe it's longer than 3 weeks. Maybe it's a long time. But that call of persevering in faith, that's where we live. Trusting in the good Lord that he's bringing us through it for a purpose that we can bear now, an aspect of his truth in our lives that shapes us for his glory. Now is your time of grief, Jesus told his disciples. And we hear it too. Now, this is our time of grief. But I will see you again and you will rejoice. And when I see you again, no one's going to take away your joy. No. Because that's when you're with me. Until life, eternity. These truths that come to us today, allowing us to bear them and proclaim them in our life and our living, this is what it's part of, following the Good Shepherd, as we talked last week, as we heard that joy of the shepherd who calls his sheep to follow him. If you remember, those of you who went through confirmation, those of you who have gone through confirmation, and maybe you had an opportunity to memorize them. When I went through confirmation, there was memory that was a part of that. And one of the things that was at the end of all of the discussions of the small catechism were these phrases that Martin Luther put together. All it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him, right? When I was in eighth grade, that was simply something for me to memorize. Check the box off, move on to the next, right? But that stuck with me. Thank and praise, serve and obey him. I wasn't ready to bear the fullness of those truths. It took time. It took some life experiences. It took time in the Word, growing and maturing in life. But now, where I'm at, I have a greater appreciation. It's not full yet. It's coming. It's being built upon. Thanking and praising and serving and obeying. What privileges we have. What a joy it is to have these expressions as part of our lives, as the Lord is working in us to bear the purposes of his kingdom. Thank and praise. Serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. May the work of the Lord, his purposes that he's moving you into to bear for the purposes of his kingdom being expressed through you, may you continue to grow in those joys and blessings as you follow Jesus, your call of faith, to persevere, to go on in the faith until life everlasting as we live in Jesus Christ and his mission, sharing the life and love of Jesus Christ with all, that they might too know what we know, that in Jesus Christ we live in that promise that he has risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for bringing us into a truth that in your good timing and in your will and by the work of your Spirit we can bear. Take in to ourselves for the purpose of your kingdom being expressed through us. Thank you for moving us through times and seasons of life where we need an opportunity to grow and mature, to see your hand at work. And then when the moment is there that you reveal that truth for us and we share that then in our lives of expressions of your grace. Thank you, Father, for the promises of your kingdom that you're bringing us into, bringing all things to completion. Find us faithful because Jesus is living in us and he is faithful unto your glory and praise unto the end. In Jesus' name we praise you and we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, may the peace of God that passes our understanding now keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus the Lord, as he loves you, as he lives in you, and you walk in his ways to the praise of his name. Amen. Amen. As we have opportunities to join together,